title, amen. And he has simply given me the title, amen, to stand. Amen. I'm past the days where I sit around and try to think up a cute title because it's Easter or it's Palm Sunday or it's Christmas. I just try to preach whatever he gives me. And the title that he has given me on this Sunday is to stand. And that might mean something to one person. It means something different to another person. But it might just mean just stand up when you feel like falling down to one person. It might mean to stand for something. Don't let people tell you how it's supposed to be. Like stand on his word. Stand on what you know is true. Stand on his promises. Right? You may be feeling like throwing in the towel on today. But God is simply saying stand. Amen. And that's the word that he gave me this week. Amen. Because this walk is not easy. This walk is not easy, and we live in a day and time where everybody is a Bible expert, everybody on social media, everybody on YouTube, is a church on every corner, everybody know Jesus, amen, but it seems like ain't nobody getting saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We live in a day and time where the world can be a very confusing place. Like my mama bear said, there's so much evil going on. And God is simply telling us this Easter Sunday to stand. And so I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the second chapter, and I'm just going to be bouncing around. So Ethan, you're going to have to keep up with me in the booth. Amen. But I want to start at the 18th verse, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. I want to start with the 18th verse. And it reads, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. That one verse by itself is a whole sermon.
Amen.
For the last 20 years, I have been trying to get people to know Jesus, to understand the cross. But when you just hear about it, when you just hear about a man and he lived 2,000 years ago and he shed his blood for us and we hear all the church cliches, it seems like foolishness. What does that have to do with anything that I got going on in my life right now? Well, those who know they need a savior, those who know that they cannot stand without him, it makes perfect sense. But those that are comfortable in their sin, they're comfortable with how they living, they're comfortable seeing the pain that their mama in, that their sister in, they're comfortable seeing the trauma that their family been through, they're comfortable thinking that money gonna fix the problem, they're comfortable in that bad relationship, thinking that it's gonna turn around, they're just comfortable in their mess. The word of God is foolishness to them. It makes no sense. Because the world tells you, you can get out of all your problems with things other than Jesus. But the scripture says in the 19th verse, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have, and I'm in the field of education. I got certificates, I got degrees, but nothing in my life makes sense until I began to build my relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word says that God will make the wisdom and the intelligence of the world foolishness. He will make it foolishness. The 20th verse says, so where does this leave all the philosophers, all the scholars, all the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. We got people in here that like to go back and forth. They have said in their heart that I won't serve God until God gives me a sign. I won't serve God until somebody can explain the 10 steps that I got to go through to get to him. And I'm here to tell you that when you serve God, it's not going to make sense to you. How God is trying to deliver you, how God is trying to save you, it won't make sense to you until you surrender, until you say, God, I trust you, until you say, God, you're my everything. And that's how Hebrews describes faith. Hebrews describes faith as the things that we cannot see. So many of us want to see something before we believe, but that's not how faith works. The 21st verse says, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. Understand what I'm saying, y'all. You can't just know God in your mind. There's not enough studying that you can do. I have been to seminary, and if you don't have the Holy Ghost, like if you don't have God in your heart, seminary will confuse you. You'll be thinking some of everything. It doesn't matter how much you study. It don't matter how much you try to figure him out. That verse just tells us that the world will never know. Right? We will never know him by wisdom. He has used a foolish thing called preaching. He said, I'm just going to send a random man. You talking about the random man that taught me in high school? You talking about the random man that don't have $1 million? You talking about the random man, I know his children and I know how they used to live and what they do? You talking about the random man that went through? But like, how can this random man tell me about Jesus and tell me on a random Sunday in 2025 that I need to get my life together? That don't make sense. Because when you look at my life, I don't seem like the type of expert that can give you an answer that can turn your life around. But that's the foolishness of the gospel. That's the foolishness of the gospel. We look at certain people as the experts because they have money or because they look a certain way or they have a certain degree. They are the ones that because they got so many followers. Yeah. They are the ones with the answers. But that's the foolishness of the gospel. The Bible says God uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He uses the person you least expected, the person that's been abused, the person that's been molested, the person that didn't have no daddy, the person that was poor, the person that had an addiction, the person who's been divorced, the person who has been through something that the world said that they would never recover from. He changes their life, and then he allows them to preach the good news. And when the world sees it, it confuses them. They begin to say, this person should have never made it out. How can he preach this word? It confuses them. This is what God has chosen. This is what God has chosen. Amen. To save those who are willing to believe. The scripture says it's foolishness to the Jews because the Jews want a sign. And it's foolishness to the Greeks because the Greeks say it's all nonsense. They just care about logic. Make it make sense to me is what the Greeks say. Make it make sense to me. But those that are called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, they know that it's nothing but Jesus. They know that it's nothing but Christ. I can't make Jesus make sense to you if that's not what your heart desires. I'm at the point in my life where nothing else makes sense to me. Like that song say, I done searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I done read the Quran. I done read stuff on Buddhism. I done read stuff about Confucius. I done tried to be Malcolm X. I done tried to do all the things. I done tried to think that it's all about voting and being political, right? And it's all about community service. You can't do enough good to fix the world. The world is too much of a wicked place. You can do all of those things, but without Christ, it's in vain. God is saying today, just stand. Just stand for him. Just stand. Just stand and let somebody know that it's about Jesus today. When we celebrate this holiday, when we celebrate the resurrection, we are saying that the God that we serve is not dead. He is alive. That seems like foolishness to somebody. Amen. That seems like foolishness until you get to the funeral and you hoping and praying somebody in heaven. Well, how they get to heaven if they not going to be resurrected? It's like we choose when we want to believe. When it's painful enough, we decide we want to believe all of a sudden that this is not the end, that there is a life after this. But we live our present like there is no afterlife. But when we get close to eternity, then we want to make up our mind. Then we want to make up our mind. The 25th verse says, the foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest human strength. Even on his bad day, God is a million times better than us.
Amen.
Even on his bad day, he's a million times better than us. When we try to stand on our own, we won't make it. But when we stand on this God, when we stand on a God who has a plan that is wiser than any other plan, that is where we get our strength from. Paul calls his listeners or the readers or the listeners of his sermon in the 26th verse, he calls them to remember. He says, remember that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. When God called me, I was about to lose my mind. A lot of people, I didn't grow up in no church. I got saved at 24 years old. God, Paul is telling, like, remember where you were when God called you. The thing that drew me to the Lord is because I had searched all over. Because all my relationships were failing. Because I was failing in school. Because I was letting my parents down. Because I felt like I didn't fit in with my friends. Because I was tired of drinking and smoking. It was fun in the moment, but throwing up the next morning didn't feel good. I got tired of living that way.
Amen.
I got tired of living that way. And Paul is saying, remember where you were when God called you. And that is what I stand on today. Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think that they are wise. And he chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Never the most popular. Never the most popular. Never had the most friends. Not the best athlete. Not the best money. Not the mom and the daddy that are lawyers and doctors. Right? Not the most muscles. Oh, none of that. None of the stuff that the world judges wisdom by. None of that. Right? Not the best speaker. Country accent. Little old Albany.
Right.
None of that. Not the mega church. The little church on Dawson Road, in the size of a living room. None of that. The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I don't care how big your church is, how many people actually saved? How many people actually standing for the Lord? How many people actually dedicated to living for the Lord? God chooses what the world considers foolish to shame those who thinks that they are wise. God chose the things that are despised by the world. Fat, black, nappy headed, the wrong side of town. You name it. The wrong high school. Right? The wrong family. He uses the things that the world despises, the things that are counted as nothing. He uses these things to bring to nothing what the world considers important. Jesus said, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. Y'all can try to hold on to all this stuff that the world says is important all you want. It's all gonna burn.
Amen.
They tried to trap my Jesus up. They tried to trap him up. to see if he was going to pay taxes. If he said pay the taxes, the Jews was going to be mad. If he said don't pay the taxes, the Romans was going to get him. Jesus said, I don't care about none of that. Who faced on the money? Caesar faced on him. Well, give Caesar his money. Give God what belongs to God. God is saying, stand today. Give him what he is due. The 29th verse tells us why we should live this way. It says, as a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. If you ever see a preacher bragging on what they have done, amen, be weary of that. Be weary of that. If they don't attach it to the power of God, if they don't say God did this thing, if it's all about I built this church and I saved these souls and I preach these messages, if it's all about I, if they my people and not God's people, right? If it's my congregation and not God's congregation. Paul is telling them to remember where you were when God found you. That's why I pray, Lord, never let me get the big head. I don't ever want to forget where you found me. I just want to stand on what you have done for me so that I will never boast. It was for our benefit that God made Jesus wisdom for us. Christ makes us right with God. He makes us pure. He makes us holy. He frees us from sin. I don't know what y'all thought Easter was about. You know, they tell you about it. If you go on YouTube, you'll be so confused. They'll tell you Easter is a pagan religion. It's about the bunnies. It's about the eggs. It's Christmas. You can't have no Christmas tree in your house. Folks be worried about the wrong thing. Stand for Jesus. Ain't nobody worshiping no trees. Ain't nobody, I know ain't no Easter bunny save me.
Amen.
Stand for Jesus.
Yeah.
Stand for Jesus.
Yeah.
Let the babies eat that candy.
Yeah.
Let the babies eat that boiled egg. Stand for Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in all of the words. This holiday is about Christ. As I go into the second chapter, and I'm not going to preach it all because I'm about to come in. Paul tells his readers in the second chapter with the first verse, he says, when I came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ. Ain't nobody trying to be fancy no more. This is not a day to be fancy no more. This is not a time, this is not an age to be fancy no more. Do I believe that we should give God our best? Yes. But if somebody come in here with a dicky suit on, as long as they get Jesus, basketball shorts, t-shirt, a hoodie, as long as they get Jesus. And if the Lord so moved them to say, I'm going to wear some slacks next time, I'm good with that too.
Amen.
But we live in a day and age now where it's not about impressing people anymore.
Amen.
Satan is taking people out. And God wants us to make it plain. Stand. Just stand. Paul say, I have decided that while I'm with you, I'm going to forget everything else except Jesus, the one who was crucified. I'm going to come with you in weakness. I'm going to come to you timid and trembling. Right? Ain't nobody got time to pretend. Pastor, I don't have it all together. I'm battling a sinus infection right now. My holiness does not make me invincible to the world. I think about my parents getting older, right? And what life is going to be like without them. I worry about my son in Columbus, that he's going to be all right driving up and down the road. I wonder about the children on my job. My life is not perfect. I don't have it all together because I have a relationship with Jesus. What you see today is just me simply standing.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just standing.
Yes.
Standing on his word. Standing on his promises. Standing in his strength. Yes. None of it is me. Just simply standing.
Amen.
Paul said, that's how I'm coming to you. Nobody trying to gas you up. Nobody trying to trick you. Ain't nobody, I'm tired of people trying to, they got it so now where they you got to have a black screen, a projector in the back, smoking lights like it's a concert to get people to love Jesus. How did anybody in the Bible days get saved? They ain't had no microphone, no drummer, no keyboard. How did anybody ever get saved? Paul said, just forget everything. Except Jesus. He says, my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. When you got to have all them gimmicks to get people to join your church, because you're trying to be persuasive. You got to do this for the young people. You got to do this for the old people. You got to do this for the saints. You got to have this program for the married people, and you got to have that program for the single people. I thought Jesus died for everybody. I thought that his grace is sufficient. Lord, I thank you. Paul says, when I'm with mature believers, right, I can have a mature conversation, but it's not the kind of wisdom that the world looks at it. The world want to be deep. Everybody want to be deep on their podcast. Everybody want to be deep when the message has always been simple. Jesus. It's always been simple. In the ninth verse, it says, this is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You can spend every night and day trying to figure out what God got for you. But until you surrender to God, you'll never know. Because whatever you think he got for you, he got something way better. Something exceedingly and abundantly better than what you could ever think or imagine. What he's trying to do in your life. What he wants to do with your children, what he wants to do with your marriage, what he wants to do with your business, whatever you think he want to do is 10 times better than what you can come up with. And all he's asking you to do is stand. The 11th verse tells us that no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. Even as your pastor, I might think I know what you're feeling, but only you really know what you're feeling. Only you really know what you're thinking right now about this sermon. And here is the point that that Paul is trying to make about God. He says it's the same way with God. No one knows God's thoughts except God's spirit. Well, the good news is, the 12th verse tells us, and we have received God's spirits, not this world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. When you have a relationship with the Lord, the word promises that the Father, that God's spirit will reside on the inside of you. He will begin to tell you the things that you need to know. He will begin to make things make sense to you. And I got to tell y'all, when God starts talking to you, please understand, it's going to go against everything that you have probably ever learned. Right? It's going to go against all the things that you have probably ever learned, because the world is telling you, in order to be successful, do this. And then God is going to say, in order to be successful, give everything away. The world is going to tell you, just like some of my parents, if that little boy hits you, hit him back. The Bible gonna tell you to turn the other cheek. The world say, right? The world tells you all of these things to do, and then the Bible says go the opposite way. But that's how the Spirit works. God does this so that we can know the wonderful things that God has done. When I tell you these things, I'm saying we're not, but I'm in the Word. It's the 13th verse. Paul is saying to his readers, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. If y'all think this is me talking to you, you mean this ain't gonna make sense. It's just a random old regular Sunday. And this dude up here talking. He reading from the Bible. That's what he doing. Right. But Paul is saying, when I tell you these things, this is not human wisdom. But instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. I'm trying to explain the truth to you. The cross does not make sense. Blood sacrifice does not make sense. Being resurrected from the dead does not make sense. Walking on water does not make sense. Turning water to wine does not make sense. The virgin birth does not make sense. The Bible does not make sense to you if you just going by human logic alone. If you want to be saved, you got to believe. You got to believe. Paul says those that aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. But only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Last verse, Ethan, and then you can start the music. For those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Because I have the Holy Ghost, I can look around and I can have discernment and I can make judgments. But with other people who don't have the Spirit, they look on him and say, what that man doing? Why he running that school this way? Why he doing this on the, why he praying for that person? Because you don't have the Spirit, it don't make sense to you. But a person who has the Spirit, they can make judgments, not based on what they want, but on what God is telling them to do. Y'all don't know how many times God has said, say this to this person. Because right now, in this season, at this time, this is the word that they need. And to that person, they're like, how does man know this? It's the Spirit. And that's what we do. We think that it's man. That's why I keep stressing, how this man, but it's not me. It shouldn't be the pastor. It should be the Spirit that's in the man. 16th verse. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Right? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things. For we have the mind of Christ. You can't figure God out. There is no way possible for you to figure God out. What he shows or what he tells is because he chooses to reveal. The only thing God is asking you to do on this Easter Sunday is stand on the word, stand on the promises, stand on grandmama's prayers, stand on auntie prayers, while you was yet running the street, whoever was at home praying for you, that you was going to turn your life around, that you was going to get it together. You might not even have enough faith of your own on today. Stand on somebody else's prayers that still got you here today. That's all he's asking us to do, is stand. That's what Easter is all about. It's about believing. that the cross wasn't the end. It's about that he got up out that tomb, and that is not over. You might have came in here thinking that it was over. It's not over. He's alive. And he just simply saying, stand on that. Alive in your marriage, alive in your finances, alive in your body, alive in that hospital room, alive in that jail cell with your brother. He's alive. Stand on it. Amen.